Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I'm your host, Scott, and you can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian, you can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. We're here with Chris, you can find on Twitter at SkateXEdge. And we're here with Damien, you can find on Twitter at Damien Johnston. Don't forget to check out our Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. And go to reviewandroast.com to check out all of our movie reviews, TV reviews, comic reviews, board game reviews, etc., etc.
And other bullshit.
Our number one for the week is 7 to Eternity by Rick Remender and Matt Hollinsworth on Image Comics. And our overrated, underrated, seeing as though the first debate was last week, is Trivial Debate Topics. So, with that in mind, let's get stupid pseudo-political on this show. Yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
No, I just, you know, it keeps the interest. It's how you sell. That's how you keep people listening until the end. You sell something really awesome in the beginning.
It's good.
Yes.
I'll stick around.
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
Let's see here. I've got a lot of things I did this week because I have no life. I watched, I don't know if I mentioned it last week or not, but I watched season one of Fleabag. It's only 6 episodes. It's on Prime. They're a half hour each. You can literally do it in 2.5-3 hours, you know, 20, 30 minutes apiece. Really good show. But I think the more, I don't want to say exciting, but the, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the show Mozart in the Jungle. It's been on Prime for 2-3 years now.
That guy that's the star, I think he either was nominated for or won an Emmy for that.
Well, since I was in between stuff and Luke Cage wasn't out yet at the time, I watched season one. It took me literally about 2 days. That show blew me away. I didn't think a show about the New York Symphony Orchestra could be like that interesting, but this show is so good. So keep that in mind if you have nothing to do.
Yeah, it's actually weird. I was listening to Bullseye. That podcast, well, I guess it's a show, but it's also a podcast from NPR, and Felicity Huffman was on there because I guess she was up for an Emmy for American Crime, and she was talking about, because the guy was basically saying that like shows like Sports Night and Desperate Housewives kind of started to break the mold of what was thought of as primetime TV, because prior to that it was like, here's a lawyer show, here's a cop show, here's a doctor show, here's another lawyer show.
Yeah.
Here's a quirky cop show. Here's a doctor show about a guy who's not really a doctor.
Here's about a doctor cop whose day job is a...
Yeah, they're...
Did I just say doctor cop?
You did.
Yeah.
But they were saying, like, you know, Sports Night was like a sort of dramedy about a fake sports news show, and it was more about the behind the scenes than it was the sports-related stuff. The sports stuff was just kind of the window dressing. And then Desperate Housewives was kind of like making fun of, you know, the idyllic suburban lifestyle. And she kind of talked about how like TV has just gotten completely broad and what kind of shows they can do now. And networks are starting to notice that shows that are doing really well are the ones that aren't necessarily just a doctor show or a lawyer show. And you can get away with doing a show about the New York Symphony Orchestra now, whereas maybe 20 years ago you couldn't do that, so...
That's interesting.
Well, for
okay.
Because she was, I'm just the American Crime thing. Like it's a murder mystery crime show, but it's not done from the perspective of the cops. It's done from the perspective of like the victims or people like adjacent to the victims, rather than, you know, we're gonna follow this cop as he investigates this murder. It's about like the murder victim's mom or the principal of a school who's going to have to deal with the fact that students have been tampered with by adults who are supposed to be overseeing them. We'll just, you know, use your imagination. Woo!
That's cool.
I've also started Stranger Things. Yay, me, finally.
Oh, you did.
So has everyone here watched it?
Not Chris. Chris refuses to.
Okay, well...
Yep, I do, actually.
Let me put it this way, Chris. This isn't going to ruin anything for you. But the thing that... the
you
reason,
go ahead and say whatever you want about it. I don't...
Well, the reason I waited so long was because everyone said how awesome it was. But
yeah,
because
everyone keeps stroking it.
Right, and every single time I've asked somebody what it's about, like, well, it's about a missing kid. I can't tell you anything else. Like, there's so much more you can tell people. about that show.
I'm telling you, it's
the kid disappears into another dimension. Boom!
I'm definitely watching Luke Cage.
Now I'm
tomorrow.
Way more
that.
Interested. I'm just saying, nobody could tell me anything other than well, it's about a missing kid, but I can't tell you nothing else. Oh, and it's in the 80s.
It's a role playing game set in suburban Indiana.
That's exactly the description I've heard.
No, I'm serious. I mean, like when I finish it, I'm like, I'm sorry, you were.
No, I said that's right on.
Well, when I finished it, I thought about it. I'm like, okay, they started out, they're playing Dungeons and Dragons, and then
be
the one...
clear that I'm not done, so don't.
Yeah, fine. I'm not going to give away any plot points necessarily, but the kid goes missing. There is a monster who is kind of, you could think of as the main boss or one of the boss characters, and then all these kids that are tied to this kid's disappearance, they all break off into their own little parties, and they all have their strengths, their weaknesses, and their attributes. And they all go off in their own, you know, subplot looking for this kid. So to me, I kind of took it as like these little parties formed to go on their own quest to find this kid and slay the monster. So
yeah, so like he said, no plot points given. And he explained the show way better than, it's about a missing kid. That's all I can say. I've had many people tell me that. And it's like, dude, that you're not making me want to watch the show right now. But I did. I started it and I'm really enjoying it.
But I'm noticing a lot of people, like with their shows and their comics, they're always lately they seem to be referencing Dungeons and Dragons as like the genesis of how they learn to tell stories. Perfect example, when I watched the Emmys a few weeks ago, Game of Thrones pretty much won the back half of the show for pretty much every category. I think they won for like best directed episode, and the two guys that wrote and directed the episode, who are like the main guys behind the reason why Game of Thrones even exists, they got up and they thanked, you know, their wives or kids, and they also said, oh, and special thanks to comic books and Dungeons and Dragons, where we learned how to tell stories. And I was just like, everybody's referencing Dungeons and Dragons now, because it's cool, I guess.
Well, yeah, all those guys that played it when we were kids, I mean, we're finally the ones who are getting the jobs. You know, we're not like mocked for the things we're into like we were, you know, 20 years ago.
So
now we are the ones who have the power to do the mocking.
So what you're telling me is the fact that I want to get into it now means I'm not going to get a good job for 20 more fucking years?
Well, I can't speak to that, but yeah, probably.
No, because in 20 years, the kids will be getting up there as adults going, I'd like to thank my wife, my kids, oh, and Sushi Go for teaching me how to make sushi out of playing cards.
I'd like to thank Justin Bieber.
Did Game of Thrones also win an award for like having best coffee on a production site or?
No, basically I don't know if anyone here, if anyone else here watched the Emmys.
No.
Honestly, I wanted that Bokeem Woodbine guy to win for Fargo so bad. I was like, I am
that
sticking.
That dude is amazing.
I'm sticking with this entire show till he wins, and he didn't win. But like, it seemed like the first hour and a half was everything was people versus OJ, and I was just like, I'm starting to think this is going to win everything. And then I thought Cuba Gooding Jr. was a shoo-in, but then all of a sudden Game of Thrones won one, and then two, and then five, and then 40, and then the show was pretty much turned into a Dungeons & Dragons fest for the last hour and a half. Because literally those guys just kept going back and forth up to win. Oh, we won again. Oh, look at us. We win again. We're the best. And I was just like, oh, maybe we should
just stand up here.
Well, some of you longtime listeners will remember on occasion we used to have a gentleman by the name of Matt with us. From time to time, he texted me yesterday and said, dude, I got hooked on Game of Thrones. I may quit my job so I can watch it.
I mean, the show is cool. Don't get me wrong.
It's not that long, though. I mean, you can just take a week off and watch it all. But I support him quitting his job. Don't.
Well, I told him that I'm a slacker because I've seen, I think, the first two seasons, but I haven't gone any farther because I just have been watching a lot of other stuff and...
I just know that I feel super left out at work because everybody's, if they're not talking about Walking Dead, they're talking Game of Thrones, and I'm like, I know there's dragons. That's about as far as I got. So
if you can do it, just wait till it's all done. I mean, I fucking hate waiting for shows that like in between seasons. I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, I have the first five seasons. I just haven't
it's actually
watched
a good
them.
Show though.
Yeah, I think it's a good show, and I like the books. I like it all, but. I would much rather just wait for the show to be completely finished than start it and watch it all in one go. Because, like, a show like Game of Thrones has, like, 700 people in the show. Like, even though I can follow it who the hell is that again? What the hell was that all about? Like, that was, like, 2 years ago the last time we saw that person.
Right. Well,
but there's two themes of Game of Thrones that's always continually going on. A lot of killing and a lot of fucking.
Oh, well then.
He's not wrong.
Yeah. Someone's screwing someone, and then someone's killing someone. Or, you know, someone's backstabbing, you know.
Backstabbing? Nice.
Yeah, you know, trying to worm their way into the, you know, the seat of the throne. And that's basically what it is. Everyone's
seat of the throne or the seat
it.
Of the pants. Someone's going somewhere.
But someone's usually right? banging somebody or someone's killing somebody in there.
Dude, I don't even know where we left off here, but...
Oh, you brought up Mozart in the Jungle, then Stranger Things came up, and then I said it was basically Dungeons and Dragons in Indiana.
Well, that's kind of how...
Which will eventually lead into, like...
Which is why you really should just drop your bias and give Stranger Things at least 4 episodes.
I will after I watch Luke Cage, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's entertainment. It's not like we're asking you to join a cult.
We're kind of asking you to join a cult, but, you know.
A little bit.
I'm gonna put Luke Cage before... Stranger Things.
Well, here's the thing. Did you watch Daredevil and Jessica Jones and all that stuff?
I watched a little bit of it.
Well, he is kind of a big part of Jessica
Jones.
Yeah,
I know. He's in Jessica Jones, yeah.
And there's references to Daredevil in there. I'm just saying, like, they all tie together, so you might want to start at the beginning.
Yeah, well, when I saw that one dude punching Luke Cage in the face and his whole arm becoming an accordion, I was like, yeah, I'm watching this.
I'm pretty excited for it, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, me too. Six, 4 hours.
Arm just became straight mush.
And here's the worst thing. Jeff is off tomorrow, and he's not going to watch it.
Why?
Because he's dumb.
Yeah, I'd say.
He never watched Daredevil. He won't watch Jessica Jones. I think he gave up on the Arrow. That stuff's too unbelievable. It's not real. But Stranger Things is like the greatest thing since sliced bread.
I watched some of Jessica Jones, especially the part when Luke Cage gave her the business.
Well, I'm just saying, like, it's just kind of funny sometimes because, like, his argument is, like, it's just not realistic. But then he'll, like, be like, dude, Game of Thrones was the best last night. It's like, well, I mean, okay.
That is kind of confusing.
I see dragons flying all over the place, right. Dude.
Yeah.
But I actually wish Game of Thrones was real.
Dude, who's doing construction?
That's me. Sorry.
I would love to walk around in fucking armor.
Dude, I'll buy you some.
Yeah, you don't have to wish for that. You can just go do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if the world was like Game of Thrones, then I'd have a reason to do it.
Is there ever not a reason, especially if Trump becomes president?
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen.
Yeah, we'll see about that. So yeah, I guess that was my week. A lot of TV and a lot more TV. And I watched half of Batman vs. Superman last night before I fell asleep.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was.
Well, I finished Uncharted 4, and I can safely say that I think I'm done with Uncharted.
Yay!
So you're not even gonna bother with 1, 2, and 3?
Nope.
Poser.
I'll
straight
live.
Poser.
I'll live. Yeah, 400 firefights was not what I signed up for, so...
What did you sign up for?
I thought it was more like adventure and spelunking and cliff diving and treasure hunting. I didn't expect to be in Call of Duty every 5 minutes, so. It's a good game. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Not anywhere close.
It's a good game in a lot of ways, but I feel like the combat is too excessive and it's clunky.
Ooh.
Super clunky, and I hated it.
This is where Chris gets to make fun of me now. What was that game that I posted on Instagram? Revenge of the Fallen or something about the Fallen?
Oh, Lords of the Fallen.
Yes, and you're like, oh, it's okay. I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot. I couldn't pass the very first part of that game.
Neither could I. Don't worry about it.
That's the dumbest thing ever. Like, literally, they go through a tutorial where you just destroy this guy, right?
I felt like keeping my true comments to myself.
Then you get to the
and
door.
And I'm ruining it for you.
Yeah, you get to a door, and he's like, we need to find the key. So you got to go back and fight your way through this entire weird castle where when you block with the shield, it does nothing. They destroy you. When you tuck and roll and stab, 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 you are now out of stamina, so you can't dodge or block again, and they kill you. And then when you die, the main guy who they tutorialed you against that was so easy... destroys your face every single time.
Speaking of games, has anyone else heard of that game?
I played it for like 45 minutes. And I was just like, I'm done.
There's a game, though, I forget. I think it might be for the, maybe the Apple phone, or I don't know. I can't, it's called Under Something.
Under Siege?
No, it's...
Under where?
It's like a...
Under there.
No. It's sort of an RPG.
Ooh.
It's created like 8-bit or 16-bit pixels, and it's created by this guy who's really got social anxiety disorder, so he like doesn't want to be interviewed. He won't put his face on anything. He won't... Like, he doesn't announce himself in public, even though this game has been like immensely popular. And it actually has two different endings depending on how you play. If you go through the thing and kill all the monsters, you get like the sad ending. But if you go through the game and like befriend all these monsters, like one of the things is when you engage in a battle, like monsters will try to kill you. You can either fight back and then, you know, your stats will go really high, but you'll also gain a lot of negative stats in other categories, which affect the outcome of the game and the way characters interact with you as you go through, because as it goes on, the whole thing is like, oh yeah, you've killed all these monsters, but now you're the one that all the villagers are afraid of because you've slaughtered everything in your sight. Or you can go through and try and befriend all the monsters who are trying to kill you and eat you, and by the end you get this big, long, lengthy ending about, you know, I forget what the name is.
It's called Undertale.
That's the one. Yes.
I had my phone on mute. I'm like, Undertale. I was like, oh, I'm on mute. God damn it.
Yeah, I just typed in UN, and that's the first thing that came. Well, third thing that came up.
Yeah, my kids are obsessed with it. My stepdaughter has played it like 4 or 5 times. It does crazy stuff. Like if you play it and you like accidentally kill someone, you're like, oh damn it, and you start the game over. The next time you meet that character, you'll say weird stuff like, I remember when you died. Like it'll remember that you would.
Yeah.
Even though you restarted the game entirely, even take it off your computer, put it back on, it'll remember this stuff. It's crazy.
Is it GamePro Undertale, the Undertale version? What?
I don't know. People love it. People who play it, they go crazy over it. Did you listen to that Imaginary Worlds about it?
I've listened to that podcast like a million times this week, just random episodes. And that one, when he's talking about games, I'm like, that sounds super interesting. Like, because I'm kind of like getting a little like exhausted with like the whole nonstop combat thing in games. I'm like, can't something be a little bit different like once in a while? And then he was talking about Undertale. I'm like, now that sounds interesting. I'm curious. But now that you're saying your like kids are super into it, now I'm even more curious, because I felt like Uncharted 4 was like a job more than it was a game for me half the time.
Yeah, my stepdaughter is just over the moon for that thing. Her and her girlfriend have been like going back and forth playing it and telling each other like where they're at. And the music is really insane, and people love it so much that some record label just put out like a double LP of the soundtrack. It's like beautiful packaging too, just on vinyl, but it's all this 8-bit music. It's really, I don't know. I was tempted to buy it just because that was so beautiful, but I've not played the game, but I've watched my stepdaughter play it a little bit, and it is really interesting. I mean, it kind of looks like a game you would have played in, like, 1989.
Now, it's on the phones?
No, she plays it on her laptop.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it might be on the phone. I know.
No, it's not.
Yeah, and I know I would have no time to get into something like that, so I haven't done it myself. But
it's on Steam.
I might check that out because that sounds neat.
Yeah, other than that, it's for Windows.
Other than that, I just watched the debates, and I've been trying to come down from my lack of sleep as a result for the last 3 days.
Nice. Yeah. No, I know.
Monday night, not so much. I haven't been sleeping either.
I've been getting horrible headaches. Like, it's awful.
Monday night, not so much. I kept waking up going, stop! Stop yelling! Why are you yelling?
That's scary.
Did you watch that thing on Monday?
It's a 2-hour game.
The debate? No, I was at work while it was happening. I watched a lot of the highlights afterwards, and I watched a couple, like, while I was at work, I kind of let a couple live streams play so I could kind of catch some of the more intense parts. I'm starting to think, like, half the country is just trolling the other half. Like, I can't imagine that anyone likes Donald Trump for real.
I don't know.
I used to think that, but I know they do.
I know they do. It's just my faith in humanity is... I know faith is a bad thing, and I shouldn't have it, but for some reason, I just keep thinking, like, there's no way, right? There's no way. Like, this is ridiculous.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, now that I've depressed everybody.
Well, I've been battling on Facebook this week with people. Like, that's my thing. And I hate it, because it's such a huge fucking waste of time. Because anyone who's, like, decided to, like, just say some nonsense has already, like, made up their mind. Like, there's no changing them. And I do my best to try to like be reasonable, but it's impossible.
Agreed. That's why I don't bother anymore.
Yeah, it depends.
I do my best to not even go on Facebook.
Yeah, you can. excuse me.
But yeah, did that. Read some comics. That's it. Chris, did you get the new fix?
I got to go get it, actually.
Okay. It's the ending of it's pretty great.
I can imagine. I haven't read anything, really. I went back and started reading Hellraiser, because I haven't finished that yet. So I'm reading that. That's pretty cool, because it's satanic, so I'm into that. What else? I read Glitter Bomb. That was okay. It was weird. Kind of strange. But yeah, it was alright. I don't think I'd get sick. I don't know. It was kind of out there.
So, why don't you talk about the number one?
Oh.
7 to Eternity by Rick Remender. Has everyone here read Low?
Nope.
Why not? Brian has.
I have not.
Did it remind you a little bit of Low? Maybe a smidge? I mean, family, you know.
It reminded me of Low if it was crossed with Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah. Well, this is a new title by Rick Remender, and before I go any further, tell me that artwork is not kick-ass.
No, it's good.
That was like one of the things I noticed, like just right off the bat, especially on the cover. I was like, dude, I gotta check this out. Even though it is Rick Remender, but I'm like, this artwork looks fucking awesome, and it is. But this is a sci-fi family tale. I mean, without getting too much into it, it's a family who's being kind of ostracized for not taking part in a war that they don't believe in. Basically, one of the things that I noticed about this book, and even like kind of like with Low too, is like the reader's just kind of like you're kind of just dropped into this scenario.
Right. Yeah.
I've been noticing that with a lot of books lately. I would say a good portion of them for the most part. Sometimes, I guess it all depends on how I'm feeling that day, but sometimes I gotta admit, I do hate that. It's basically just walking in the middle on someone's conversation and trying to, hey, what's going, wait, what are you talking about? What was that? And you're asking them to, like, you know, to actually go back about 5 hours worth of their conversation just so you can get caught up. But even for that, and I wouldn't really maybe say that as a shortcoming of this book being just dropped into the, you know, to this scenario, for the most part, I thought it was awesome. It's the world that they're creating is actually kind of fantastic.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm kind of digging this little weird universe they're creating.
Yeah, it's really cool, and that artist is making it, is selling it, in my opinion.
You know, when you read at the end, and he's talking about they've been talking about this for years now, it kind of shows, man. I mean, the weird animals they're creating, the whole story with the Mud King, and, you know, needs one servant from every family, or the whole family is just, you know, doomed, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty... pretty interesting tale they're spinning right now.
Yeah. It's a sci-fi family tale.
And I mean, you know, I like the artwork, but I feel like I would have appreciated it more if I would have got the print version, but I bought it on my Kindle because...
That artwork is fucking awesome.
Like, in what, it's what I assume...
It's fucking awesome. That artist is fucking great.
And it's what I assume is the middle of the book, where it's him, like, when he first shows up to that temple or whatever, and it's just like... There's hardly any words on the page, and it's just him really small on one side and the Mud King super big on the other side.
Yeah.
I wish I could see that not on my Kindle, I guess.
Yeah. Chris really can't say enough. The art is really spectacular. It's like this kind of updated Mobius sort of...
I'm like fucking jealous.
It's got a little like 90s Image comics, but like the good part of that, you know, mixed in there too.
Oh yeah, that's another thing. When I'm reading it, I'm like, dude, I can't see this comic being on any other and being published by any other company but them.
Yeah, there's a real like Wills Portacio kind of vibe to the
right. Yes, art yes. Like Wetworks and yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
That guy,
no,
that
I
died.
Yeah.
That
as soon as you
die?
Said that, as soon as you said that, I'm looking at the cover and I was like, "Yep, yep, he hit it. There it is." Yeah, definitely, most definitely, and I liked his artwork too.
Yeah, me too.
But it does actually kind of throw you back to like 1992, you know, when Image started out and they came out, you know, they Spawn obviously and Savage Dragon and Wildcats and Cyberforce and Wetworks and Shadowhawk and
man, I think you named them all.
Yeah.
Maybe Supreme, I think.
Yeah, Supreme was. Yeah, there's. I mean, there. Well, there was Pit, the Max, and Youngblood. But yeah, it definitely has that feel to it.
So, what did Brian think about it?
I agree. The artwork was pretty amazing. The perspectives of those panels you mentioned, where you just see this—I forget the guy's name—but you see him really tiny, and you just see that like gap. It looks like a chasm, and then there's like that kind of arch that goes over where you, I guess, you'd enter the Mud King's realm.
Yeah,
stuff like that I really liked. Some of the like the part where the old man is sinking into the ground, and the son's like grasping his hand like one last time. Like that's pretty powerful stuff. But honestly, I didn't really love this. It was meh for me because like I kept thinking, I'm like, I feel like I read this already. I feel like it was called Low. And Low completely lost me about 10 issues in, and I kept going, hoping it would pick back up again, and it just has not. I've actually since canceled Low, because I just was like, this is like 6 issues in a row now, where I'm like, what happened to this thing? It's going less than nowhere. I don't even remember who half these characters are, nor do I care. And I'm reading this going, this is Low, except above the water instead of underneath the water.
Right.
So, and I'm like, minus the swearing and the sex and the violence, obviously. But I feel like Rick Remender is just doing Low over and over again, just with different terrain,
themes.
I guess.
Yeah.
And I was just like, Low lost me, and I'm like, I don't hate this, but I don't love it enough to keep going, because part of me is just kind of like, eh, I feel like I've read it. Another part of me is like, yeah, this could go the way of Low, and I'll stick with it for 10, 12 issues, and then by the time I get that deep, I'll be like, what even happened here? Like, what's going on? Like, the Mud King doesn't exist. Now, all of a sudden, Jerry the milk guy is running things. I'm like, I don't even care anymore. I felt the same way reading Black Science. Like, at first, I'm like, this is really interesting, and then by the time I was done with the first trade, I'm like, nah, I think I'm done. The only book he's done that I've felt compelled to keep going is Deadly Class. So, I don't know. I think I'm kind of done with Rick Remender in terms of getting invested into his worlds. I mean, they're super interesting, but something about him, it just feels...
Familiar.
Not even familiar. I just feel like... I feel like once removed from the story, if that makes any sense. Like, when I read Ed Brubaker stuff, I feel like... Almost like I'm sitting in the front row, like, seeing it all happen. Same thing with other... Like, Jonathan Hickman. I don't know if that really applies to him, because his stuff's super weird, but it's so weird that I want to follow him wherever he's going. But Rick Remender stuff, I feel like, I feel like there's this big sheet of thick glass between the story and myself, and I just can't get past that for some reason.
He's kind of like, for me, he's kind of like Azzarello in respect to Azzarello's 100 Bullets.
No.
Where like, the first, like, 50 issues are just fucking awesome.
I've never gotten that far with Rick Remender stuff to know if 50 issues is going to be a good...
Well, I'm just saying, comparing this to Low. You know, the first, you know... I mean, I'm still reading Low, and actually the last issue I just read actually had a really... dropped a real heavy hitter. So, but it even kind of went on a weird tangent, you know, because, like, in Low, like, in the last issue, they're fighting, like, these humanoid bees or wasps. So it's like, all right. But yeah, I can kind of see what you're saying with this book, how it's, you know, It does kind of remind me of Low. I mean, it's you know, Low is basically about a family. You know,
yeah,
I
felt like I was at the Field Museum, and there was like a setup of like a woolly mammoth and like Cro-Magnon man, and then there was like a wooden placard that explained what the scene was. And I'm like, that's how I felt reading this entire first issue. I'm like, I feel like I'm in a museum of Rick Remender's weird thoughts, and then there's these things telling me what's going on. And I just can go, oh, that's neat. And then I press the button, and then the arm moves, and then I go on to the next window.
I feel like I'm at a disadvantage because I've never read any Rick Remender stuff at all. Like, this is my first foray.
Yeah, the only thing I've ever read was, like, Deadly Class number one, and that's it. So this, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, I wouldn't say it's the best thing I ever read, but I think what they're creating in this book has the potential to be quite epic.
Yeah, and I think the artist is helping it tremendously.
Yeah, I mean, if you had seen or read this kind of thing like over and over again, I could see how this might get exhausting because there's so much to like take in. Like the world building is insane. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, well, I'm gonna go on my trip. I better get my hovering guinea pig, and you're like, what the fuck is that? In this world, it makes complete sense, but you know, in real life, you're like, why is she shooting an eel with a bow and arrow? But
yeah,
okay.
That's what I'm talking about. It's super interesting.
So that's, I mean, so it's, I could see like this, if you've seen this a few times, it having a different, you know, effect on me. Where I saw this, I was like, whoa, this is super fucking strange. Like when I said like Mobius, I mean, it has that kind of confounding logic to it where you're like, wow, like, I mean, this is issue one of the story because it's where the story starts, but it does have that feel that like to the writer, this world has existed for a very long time.
Yeah.
And you know, it's all of these things make total sense in his mind or he's just like, has the confidence to throw it out there and have an artist who's able to handle it. But I thought there's a lot of interesting choices in it. I'm not going to pretend to understand exactly what's happening. But again, I think for me, like the 90s, like Will Spartaccio meets Mobius kind of thing, as far as the art's concerned, I thought it was really cool. The writing is weird, and I don't know if it's good weird or if it's just weird. And I think it'll take a couple more issues for me to figure that out. I will probably read it again, but I hope... I don't know. I hope the story starts to really lock in soon because the world building was great, although strange. I think, you know, that's the next step is now something that is universal, which is just a good story. So,
and that could be it. It could just be that this will benefit better from a collection of some kind or a trade. But as a single issue, I was just like, I don't know.
Well, like I said, I enjoyed it quite a bit. Artwork, story, all that. And yeah, it does feel like they just throw you right into it, but I feel like I caught on pretty quick. And I mean, at the very, very least, even if I don't like finish the series out, I need to know what this deal is. I'm just saying. Did anyone else read it or?
I read it.
Okay. Because the whole book revolved around.
Oh, that. Right. The deal. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't retain what you meant by deal. Yeah. The offer.
Yes. Okay, I thought maybe I was reading something different for a minute there.
No, you said deal, and I thought you meant it as in like, what's the deal? Are we getting Subway or what?
Oh, you think it was my Seinfeld reference?
Yeah, it is a song. I honestly thought Brian would have liked it.
I did. I actually had the same feeling.
Yeah.
You're just a hard guy to please.
No, I just, you know.
You've become more mature in your comic book selection.
Yeah, he's an elitist. How about we number and move? Number and move.
I can't win with anyone.
I'm just pushing along the conversation. That's my job. So I, like I said, it's not the best thing I've ever read, but I did have a lot of fun reading it. I feel like it has the potential to be pretty awesome. So I'll give it a good 7.2. There we go. That nice and odd.
Like I said, the artwork was great. I love the cover. The cover looks like a 70s movie poster, so I definitely like that, but it just wasn't for me. I'm going to go to 5.
I was gonna go with, cause I've read I read Low, so I still read Low, so I kind of feel like it's kind of the same thing, not really, but I'm gonna go with 6.785.
Nice. Liking the weird numbers.
6.785. Okay.
I just kind of threw it out. I could have actually gave it like an actual, you know, proper fraction. You know what I mean? Like
that's a proper. That's fine. It's just slightly over 3/4, 6 3/4.
Okay, so how about 6.825? Is that better?
Okay, that's just slightly south of 6 7/8. That's fine.
There you go.
I'm into that. Wow, I actually didn't think I'd be giving it the highest score. I gave it an 8. So
see, I thought I'd hear multiple 8s.
I was thinking about it, but then I was like, you know, I give 8s a lot, and this thing. It's more just my interest in the offer. Not that the story wasn't good, but my main interest lies in I need to know what the deal is. What's the deal with the Mud King?
I guess when you're creating a world, it's like so.
I liked it.
Like Damien said, like completely illogical. I need to find a hook somewhere. Like the Empty is a perfect example. Like
that
world, that story makes zero logical sense, but. There were so many things in there that you could find a hook with. And, I mean, that series lasted 5 issues, and I was like, that's it? You're not giving me any more. I mean, and that wasn't a mature story at all, but it was just phenomenally well-written and drawn.
It was well-written, especially the fact when they found out it's actually fucking Earth that they're on.
I mean, and the thing is, I could see where, like, some people might get turned off because it was pretty heavy with the metaphors, but, I mean, if you're not, like, some, you know, stoic, I mean, not to pigeonhole, but a stoic right-winger, you'd probably find something to like about that book. Because even though, like I said, the world and the characters are completely, you know, fantastical, there were obvious references to... you know, environmental issues, for example. So that, I think, kind of was sort of the beginning hook for me. And then you just start to appreciate the characters as individuals. And then, again, 5 issues felt like way too little. Like, I felt like I could have gone 10 more easy. But
because when you think about it, I mean, like, the talking dog people, I mean, that's kind of...
Yeah, the talking dog, the...
Mog. I'm a Mog.
Like, half the humans have super long necks. The other ones have there was like 2 like human species on this planet, and like the ones have the really long necks and they live in that big lush, you know, beautiful gardens and giant towers and so on. And then you have the other humans that have regular necks but their arms are super long and they live in this wasteland that turns out to be this
cesspool.
Yeah, it turns out to be like this chemical company's environmental wasteland. I don't know, I thought that book was amazing.
I agree.
It was quite sexy.
I miss that book quite a bit, so.
Alrighty. So, I guess we're going to maybe have a little discussion about, as far as comic books that we would like to see maybe on TV instead of a movie. Something that might work a little better in the other medium, because movies are so huge now. Feels like, TV shows are starting to, step up their game. And, I mean, right off the top of my head, easy as pie, I would love to see a television series on Bombshells. I don't think, especially that's, already running into the higher teens as far as issues go, like, you're not going to cover all of that they cover in these books in a movie. Like, there's just not enough time. So I feel like it would work way better on TV.
Well, for me, aside from this article, which the guy was essentially saying that comic books are almost tailor-made for television because of the episodic nature and the allowance for the characters to grow and so on and so forth, this other website had the 69 comic book TV shows on TV coming back in development, etc. And I'm looking through this list and I'm like, okay, like 40% of this is superheroes, which I'm not against, but it's starting to get a little much because that, like, now it feels like they're digging a little bit. But then I'm looking at the other ones of, like, the indie comics that they're doing, and some of them are cool. I mean, Chris will be happy to find out that Postal is going into development on Hulu.
Cool.
That's actually happening. It's not even like...
Because Postal's... You guys got to read it, really. You do.
Well, they said Hulu sees what Netflix has gotten with Marvel and AMC's got with Walking Dead, so they want in on it. And they're already, I guess, fast-tracking Postal to happen.
But that's then, actually, good that they said that.
Some of the other books, I'm just like, what? That thing? Really? So I was reading and kind of disappointed. And so I'm like, nobody's picking this? Nobody's doing this? What the hell?
I feel like Bombshells was like a huge hit that nobody really thought was going to be a hit, I guess, is the way to look at it. Like, you figure right after the series started, we went to C2E2, and there were so many people there dressed in costumes from Bombshells. Like, the entire panel was full of them, and they brought them all up on stage. I took pictures. They're on the website. But I'm just saying, like, it's amazing how quickly this book has caught on. I mean, it's a great concept, plus you got Marguerite Bennett writing. Can't go wrong.
I haven't read it yet.
I know you haven't. That's why I keep pushing it.
But I would like to see Sandman on TV, because I don't think a movie is going to do it justice.
Agreed. I think that would be a great show, but not a good movie.
No, and please not on regular TV, because what they're doing to Lucifer is so sad.
I was going to say, Sandman cannot be on regular TV.
Yeah,
no, you got to have that scene with the diner with the Corinthian or whatever at the beginning of the series.
So everyone's read Sandman, right?
I've read
the
first five trades. I've read Death Deluxe Edition, which has both Time
Did you get
life.
To the part where Sandman goes to the wedding, his son's wedding?
I don't remember. It's been a while since I read it.
Yeah, I've read it all. I was a huge fan.
Okay.
I have a freaking Sandman tattoo on my body.
Dude, tell me that's probably not one of the saddest things you probably have ever read, or one of.
I don't know, man. I'll tell you, I definitely cried more than once reading The Sandman, and that's really hard to admit to anyone.
Yeah. After I read that part, the wedding, and got to the end, I was reading it on the way to work, so I was on the train, and I think I got right up to that end part, right to that part, and I'm getting off the train, and I'm like, God, I'm like, why do I feel so depressed?
Well, I was going to say, as a measure of solidarity, I don't know if you've ever read, have you ever read Blankets by Craig Thompson?
No,
I have to read that.
I've read the other Craig Thompson stuff, but that's the one I have not yet read. I've heard it's pretty intense.
I got choked up reading that multiple times. Multiple times. It's seriously, it's not a sad story, but it's just one of those stories where you're like, oh, God, I remember the first time that happened to me.
Yeah. Gosh, I got to read. I read the Habibi just recently, and I really enjoyed that.
I've been dying to read that.
It's great. It's one of those books where you sit down, you read the entire thing in one sitting, and you're like, wow, that was just like 4 hours of straight reading comics. Like, it's great. Yeah, I couldn't stop. I literally couldn't stop reading it. I thought I would die.
But yeah, Blankets, like, I always wanted it, but I'm like, $35, a lot of money. I don't know if I'm going to like it. And I just happened to be in Half Price Books one day, and it was sitting in the clearance section for $2. I was like, well, have to get it for that price.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it was like one of those rare once-in-a-lifetime things where it had like a slight rip in the cover, and the girl's like, yeah, we couldn't sell it for half price, so we just marked it down to $2. And I was like,
and sold.
Well, the thing is, too, the girl was super cute, and I was totally interested in her, so I'm like, maybe I'll read it, and I'll tell her how great it is, and then she'll want to hang out with me, and then we'll be like best friends, and then we'll start dating, we'll get married, and then we'll both go on a... So like, but no. Anyway, that book was pretty... Yeah, it actually was pretty intense. I guess that's a pretty good word, to be honest with you.
Nice.
Because I think if you've ever had, like, that weird post-high school, pre-adult relationship, that, like, that weird period where you're, like, more mature than you were in high school, where, like, relationships start to mean more, but you're still not quite ready.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, dude.
Yeah, you're still not quite ready for that, you know, companionship that you would get as an adult.
But you think you are.
Yeah, exactly. It's that weird period where, like...
I know, yeah.
You're starting to think about those things, but you're really not ready for him yet. That book slots perfectly into that, like, 19 to, like, 24 period.
Dude, I could even tell you the girl.
Yeah, I think that everybody has to have it. If there wasn't a girl they dated, it was a girl they were interested in or a girl they were rejected by or something. Or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, that book slots perfectly into that part of your life. So everybody should find some spot in that book where they're like, oh, my God, I remember that. And then you're like, oh, God, that was the worst day of my life.
It's definitely on my list, and it's good that it affected you that way, because I like to be affected deeply by things.
Right.
Killing and Dying does the same thing, that book. Is it called Killing and Dying?
Mm-hmm.
Or Dying and Killing? Or
Killing
yeah.
and Dying.
Adrian Jordan book, yeah.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing that reminds you of the time when you were, like, 21, you were in the parking lot of the Denny's two towns over listening to Sunny Day Real Estate, like, going, I'm not crying. And then your friends were like, where were you? I was out skateboarding. Don't worry about where I was. She stole.
Dude.
Skateboarding. Listen, Nuclear Assault. Don't look it up.
Don't try and find me.
That's all I listened to when that so, you know, that exact particular moment in my early 20s young adult life, that when she went back to school, that's all I listened to was Diary and the Pink Album. Yeah, back to back for months on end.
Where you stare down the street go, if I just start walking now, I can get there in like 3 months.
No, dude, I'm serious. That's all I listened to. And like, I didn't even want to be bothered with hardcore at that point either. I was just like, dude, I'm like,
nothing makes sense.
All I want to do is listen to Sunny Day Real Estate and just put my head into my schoolwork, and that's what I did.
If she would just talk to me one last time, I swear I'll watch Say Anything this time.
Because yeah. I even made her a mixtape, and I put like half of Diary and half of the Pink Album on there.
Oh man, I would love if someone would show me my mixtapes I made for girls when I was a teenager.
And then they're like,
I swear to God, I put a Judge song on one.
I did that. I did that, like, and then wrote the lyrics in there too.
Oh dude, I did. I could even one up you guys. I put a Raid song on one.
Oh, I have no idea how you came to that. I would love to hear it though.
And I'm not talking about the 7-inch. I'm talking about the Above the Law. One of those songs I put on there.
That was that moment where she started trying to find out how to get the restraining order paperwork filed.
She's like, blood green? What? Curse of empathy? What's wrong with this dude?
I have to say, in that instance, I'd have to agree with her for a moment. I'm like, what does veganism have to do with us breaking up?
Oh, man. Dating hardcore guys must have been weird for girls back then. Like, they had no interest in it at all.
I could never get a hardcore girl. Like, I don't know. Well, there wasn't many to go around to begin with. But even still, like, that was fine with me. I didn't want worlds colliding. Like, to keep it separate, you know?
Do you want worlds colliding? Because then there'd be no escape. Is that what you're trying
to... Kind of, yeah. No pun intended.
I definitely think pun was intended, but it was a good pun. Oh,
yes. Yeah, I know.
The only time I ever saw Worlds Collide was when they were on tour with No Escape. That's why I thought that.
That's when I saw them too, when they were on tour with No Escape.
We are wildly off topic.
I mean, it's kind of our thing, I guess.
It is our thing.
Is it my turn to pick?
Pick what?
Well, everyone's picking like a show.
Oh,
a
just
comic book. Oh, yeah.
I thought we were talking about mixtapes.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. I could talk for hours on end about fucking Sunny Day Real Estate.
It stemmed from Sandman working its way into Blankets and then Habibi and then back to Blankets and then mixtapes and girls, and now we're back to Chris.
Well, the one I was going to say is seeing the success of Mad Men,
love it.
I think Lady Killer.
Yeah, that'd be a totally good one.
I agree.
I actually don't disagree, even though I read the one issue, but I don't really understand the correlation to Mad Men, though.
It's the 50s.
Well, because of the time period.
Okay. Yeah, never mind. I'm sitting there like, wait, Mad Men, these guys are working for an ad agency. She's like murdering people and stuff.
I just
want
to throw it out there, though. Mad Men was fucking awesome.
I never finished it. I heard it was good, though.
Well, I never watched it when it was on. I just blew through it in about 2 months, about 6 months ago.
You don't have to sell me on Johnny Sausage. I mean, John Hamm.
John Hamm.
A lot of screwing and a lot of backstabbing.
Like, I'm probably going to go back and, like, start, not religiously, but I'll probably start flipping on a few episodes every now and then.
So I've been doing a 30 Rock.
It's easier with a sitcom. It's a little different with an hour-long drama, but I'm going to make it work somehow because don't want this to sound too weird, but I need some Draper in my life.
I hear you.
Now, who could play? I'm trying to think who could play Josie.
You know what? I'm going to honestly, oh, God, what was that movie that me and you watched with What's-Her-Face when she was all, like, trying to be the chef?
Heather Graham.
Heather Graham would be awesome.
You think so?
Only because, what was the name of that movie?
Compulsion.
Watch Compulsion. She, like, is that person. She wears the dresses. She's all, like, prim and proper. And she's also kind of a total nutcase. Just off the top of my head, spitballing, it could totally work.
Well, don't disagree.
What? Yeah, I've never seen that movie. That sounds Compulsion, it's called?
Yeah.
It's based on a Korean film about two apartments that are across the hall from one another. you kind of can see it in some of the cinematography choices. It's basically she's obsessed with food and with cooking, and she thinks that she is destined to host a cooking show. And she, like, lives with her boyfriend, and when she makes this elaborate dinner and he kind of goes, eh, she gets, like, super, like, what isn't he, like, she just gets super, like, she's obsessive compulsive, that's the way to put it, to the point where she gets a little, like, crazed.
But while she's cooking for him, she's acting out like she's doing her own cooking show, too.
Yeah, she, like, walks around the kitchen, and she, like, bends down all, you know, kind of, like, provocatively, but also, like, a 50s housewife, and opens her, like, the oven door and stares off as if there's a camera looking at her and explains what she's doing. She's like, the roast goes in at 350, and then she pushes it in. Super weird. Kind of awesome, though. Plus, Carrie Ann Moss is in it, and I love her because she's super dry and everything, which rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
It's worth a view.
And not that we need to plug Luke Cage, but I'm pretty sure she's going to be in the new season of Luke Cage. It starts in 6 hours for me.
That is true.
Just keep rubbing it
in. Oh,
yeah,
when are they releasing Luke Cage then, at midnight?
Yeah,
so you'll be able to watch it at midnight.
I'm actually going to start watching it tonight.
Like a month ago, I was so excited for this thing that I was just like, why haven't they invented a pill that can give you like a coma for just as long as you need it to be?
Dude, I would love that.
I would use it all the time. My life would be like a week long.
I agree. I'd be like, well, ain't shit happening for 6 months. Time to go to sleep.
See, that's how I feel about Cave Carson has a cybernetic eye. I'm like, dude, we got to wait till October 19th. Are you kidding me?
That's going to be good. I'm very excited for that. I'm going to say right now, that was going to be a great TV show. I have no idea if it is. It could be a terrible comic, but like, I'm very excited. I'm excited for anything with that name.
When I read how they came across it, it was literally like a backup, and it lasted, I think, he only appeared in like 4 issues of comic books total. But they're like, and I was watching an interview with that Gerard Way guy, and he's like, okay, I came across this character, he's a spelunker, he's got a daughter, and he has a cybernetic eye, that's all I needed to know. And I was just like, I don't even know what you're doing, but I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun they give someone just like, just basically let him like wind himself up and go.
I want that title just tattooed across my body somewhere so people could just see it, or I could see it. I am way overselling this to myself, and I know I'm going to be disappointed now.
Well, we'll know shortly.
I was like counting the weeks on the calendar, like, will it be my pick that week? Unfortunately, the answer is no.
Well, if it's mine, I'll probably pick it, because I did enjoy Doom
You're
Patrol,
next.
Which you missed out. I just did Doom Patrol last week.
Yep.
No, I said Brian's next.
I know, that's what
I'm
saying.
I guess when you say you're next into a group of three people.
Oh,
like...
sorry. Well, sorry, you're right, I should have specified.
No, that's fine.
No, you actually...
directed my...
I just think everything's about me, so...
Well, it is.
Thank you.
But no, Brian, you are next.
That is amazing.
Okay.
Actually, I'm super disappointed because I really wanted to pick that one.
Then let Scott go next.
No, that's fine. I'll trust that somebody will pick it, or I will just buy it, and I'll rant about it like a maniac, one way or the other.
What, Cave Carson? Is that what you said?
Yep.
Cave Carson has a cybernetic eye. That's the whole song.
Sorry, I'm playing a game as we're doing this, too.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
I'm playing Forza Horizon.
All right.
Sweet.
All right, so what did Damien pick?
What?
As a show.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know I was supposed to pick an actual show. I've just a comic. I've just been agreeing, like, fervently. Sometimes I think, I'll just say this. Sometimes I'll read comics, a lot of Image titles especially, and I feel like they were picked to be published because Image or whoever was like, this could maybe get picked up for a show. Like, I kind of feel like that's kind of prepackaged into some of these comics.
I would agree with you on that. Especially nowadays.
Totally. I mean, I don't think that makes it bad. It's just, it's clearly a business issue, and it, as it should be. But, like, I just read the first trade of Invisible Republic. Did you guys read that?
I read the first issue. And
I read the first issue or two.
I read the first 5, and then after that I was like, eh.
It was on, I know it was on my list to keep going, but I just never remember where I'm at, and I just
figured, I'll wait for the trade, and then I'm too poor to buy trades, so it's kind of lost on me.
It was okay. Yeah, it was okay. It was at the library. It was just something I picked up when I was at the library the other day.
It's and like, I felt like it was something I could read while I was taking a shit.
Well, that's not. I mean, when people are like reading comics or looking at Tinder, they're pooping. That's not mince words.
I would never desecrate my comics that way.
You could get a bathroom maid that has like a screen, like or like those things that when people handle radioactive material. And so the comic could be like on the outside of the bathroom, but you could have gloves to read it. Just saying. It's a thought. Just put it out there. Anyway, well, I read that first trade, and it was fine. I didn't dislike it or anything, but reading this, I was like, wow, this is like, they made this to try to be picked up for something. Like, it hits all the points. It's like, you know, it's got the interesting world, but it's a completely familiar story with, like, political things. Right. Like, it's got this kind of, like, revolutionary, slightly, I don't know, I get, like, a real AMC vibe off of it. Like just reading it, same thing I had with that.
It's very, it's definitely very Blood Link Records, Policy of Three.
Exactly.
For all you '90s hardcore kids out there.
Yeah, who used to put glue on your stamps or all that shit? you remember that?
Oh yeah.
What?
What's the God? Why can't I remember it? Anyway, it's. Oh, that what's that comic the Image put out about like Canada and America in a war?
Oh, We Stand on Guard. The one by Brian K. Vaughan.
Like yeah. Last of Us or Last Among Us or something.
We Stand on Guard.
Yeah,
thank you.
We Stand on Guard. I read the first couple issues of that. I thought it was fine, but I didn't really get into it. But that was another one where I read. I was like, wow, this is like straight up pitched to be a TV show. Like, there's no way they didn't think this would be like a cool show, and it probably would be a cool show. And anything where Canadians are being shot, I think is awesome. So.
Wow.
Paper Girls could actually be a show.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's so many things that would make a really great show, and I think that's the thing is, like, would Paper Girls make a good movie? Like, maybe, but would it make a good show? Yeah, totally.
I'm surprised Hulu doesn't pick that up, because that's, to me, that's, if you were wanted to, like, compete against, like, Netflix's Stranger Things, Paper Girls would be a good,
I think it was Barnes & Noble actually put out the 10 graphic novels you want to read after binge watching Stranger Things, and Paper Girls was number one on that list. So,
yeah, that is a good call, because that does. I mean, I've only read the first trade of Paper Girls, but it certainly has a very similar vibe.
Well, yeah, because it takes place in the 80s, and
I like the first arc, but I think the second one is just amazingly good.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. That comic just keeps getting better and better.
No, it took us, for me, it took a substantial leap forward after the first arc. Like, the first arc, I was like, yeah, it's cool, I'll stick with it. But the second one, I'm like, oh my god, I can't wait for the next one. The giant worm things and what's her name hanging out with her adult self, and then there's the third version of him that comes through the time portal with the backpack. Yeah. I'm like, oh my god, I love this thing. It makes Stranger Things look like Trapper John M.D. or something. That's definitely hyperbole on my part, but I was just looking to drop a Trapper John MD, you know, reference one of these weeks. It's been 200 episodes. I finally got one in. Yes.
Nice.
106 there, Slick.
All right, well, whatever.
That's healthy.
Well, you figure with the multiple other podcasts that we do and or have done, I guess we're probably well over 200 if you put them all together.
Maybe.
The more you know. So, is this dying down? Do we move on, or has anyone else got some more
stoof? No, we can move on. I think we milked it in a very crazy way.
Crazy good, though.
You know crazy good.
All right, so then I guess we're moving into the over-under category, and that is presidential debate topics. Sounds a little weird, and at first I was like...
Presidential debate? No, just regular debate.
I assumed it was presidential.
Well, for you it will be.
For me it will be, yes it will. So now, what the hell are you talking about then?
Any debate, Facebook debate, Twitter debate, friendly debate over miso soup.
How did everyone else take it?
Well, I mean, I couldn't help but think of it presidential just because of the
right
our proximity to the debate.
That's kind of what I was almost thinking too when you said that. I was like,
All right, so but the three of us will take it that way.
If sky's the limit, then...
Brian will talk about pizza, and we'll talk about politics.
Well, this is good, because this means that none of my picks are going to be used.
Nice. Mine might sound a little weird at first, but hear me out, folks. Hear me out. Overrated, there's no debate to be had, global warming. Can't we just agree at this point that something needs to be done? Why are so many people refusing to see, I don't know, what's going
because
on?
Because winter still happens, duh.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's why I was running my air conditioner in September. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Every time I hear that, every time it gets cold and someone's like, "Ooh, global warming my ass," I die a little.
Yeah, it's, ugh, I don't know. It's people's refusal to listen to, I don't know, scientists and the people who study this stuff for a living. Like, no, dude, no.
Well, and Cosmos, it might have even been the first episode, Neil deGrasse Tyson explained it in the simplest and most profound way possible. And if you can watch that segment and still go, whatever, then you're just never...
He's just an idiot. He's a liberal scumbag and blah, blah, blah. He's trying to push the liberal agenda.
But he's not... He doesn't explain it in a, you know, policy manner.
I know,
or
I'm just... I'm
political
giving...
manner. He explains it in a... And how it works.
I'm giving you their arguments.
But I'm just saying, if you watch it, there's no political agenda to be had there. He's explaining it. He's explaining it as if he's explaining how a microwave works.
You're using logic. That doesn't work.
That's upsetting. That's because people don't teach critical thinking in school, or civics for that matter.
Yeah, this is true. But yeah, overrated. There's no reason to debate global warming. Just we need to, I don't know, try to take a step in the right direction. Because at this point, I don't know if you can fix it, but if you could try to curb it, we might all be better.
I think the parties can now argue about like what measures need to be taken, and we can say like, oh, cap and trade won't work, or taxing big businesses isn't going to work. That's fine if you want to argue about that shit. But I think now that we've passed like the mark of like the carbon mark where there's no going back from it, like we basically hit the point of no return at this point. Like now it's just like, no, now we just need solutions. Like. We're done giving hemlock to all of the fucking Galileos. Like, we don't do that anymore. Like, we know that we are not the center of the universe. Let's move on from there now.
That'd be nice.
Mine's going to sound really pedestrian by comparison.
No. Big Macs are totally a thing. Overrated. Brian, go.
My overrated was the whole which superhero could beat up the other superheroes.
Mm, yeah.
I see these on Facebook, Twitter, all the time. Hulk versus Superman, who wins? And I'm like, why is this? Why?
Because I have finally decided the next con I go to, I am dressing up, and I won't tell you guys what until it's revealed, because nobody's going to know who it is, but who it's going to be is the superhero that can beat up everybody. So stay tuned.
One Punch Man?
No, I said it's going to be somebody nobody knows.
If it's a guy who doesn't shower, that doesn't count.
No, it's going to be dope.
You just use the word dope.
It's because I'm totally street now.
But no, that's a debate that I see people feverishly arguing. And then back to the global warming thing, I'm like, there are real things happening in this world. And you're arguing over if Wolverine can beat up, you know, Blue Beetle. I'm like, this is so stupid.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a clear answer every time.
It's not kids doing this. They're grown adults that I could have went to high school with. Are screaming at each other online about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just think to myself, I'm like, see, this is why I don't get too deep into the superhero thing. I mean, I like them, but it's just like, I like a story that like stays affixed to its point of view and doesn't go, well, if you want to know why Spider-Man had pancakes 3 hours ago, you need to get Spider-Gwen number 7. You need to get Avengers 3, 7, and 5. And like, no, I'm not doing all that.
I agree.
Black Monday Murders stays on the course. You don't have to get gray Sunday afternoon brunch to figure out why this guy has a mustache. So,
is Christopher ready?
Anything involving Star Wars?
I'll see.
There's another debate. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. Some people get so like insanely upset if you disagree.
Okay,
with
you
them.
Said that so
right. Well, I was trying to think of a way to of what I was trying to say.
So.
But, yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah, Miles Greb, if you guys follow him on Facebook, he gets in lots of arguments with people. I think he's finally, today I think he finally said he's done.
He did.
Facebook for a while. He's just like, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. He would get in on some of my posts and start arguing with people. And one day he sent me a message, he's like, dude, your friends are fucking weird. I was like, yeah, I know.
That's why I don't really try to participate on the Facebook, because I realize that most of my quote-unquote friends completely disagree with most things I believe. So I just don't want to know that. Let's keep that stuff to ourselves and move on.
I went through like a year period of just saying yes to everyone, like, who wanted to, like, hey, a friend request. I was like, sure, 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 sure. So I have like 1,000 friends or something, and I don't know, like, maybe 100, 200 of them.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's like, it's too much of a chore to go through and, like, unfriend people. So I'm just, I'm just like, well, fuck it, whatever. Like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, the way I see it is, you're not going to change my mind, and I'm definitely not going to change your mind, so why bother with a discussion? Like, if you could see the text message I got, like, a week ago, holy shit. But I won't get into that on the air.
Okay. I think I've changed a couple minds. I've had a few people at least be like, well, you're right, I'm going to reluctantly vote for Clinton. Fuck. You know, I've got a few people to, like, get off the Gary Johnson, Jill Stein precipice of moral suicide. But it's, in general, yeah, there's not anyone that I'm convincing. I had someone today tell me that I was a monster for pointing out that Gary Johnson is completely unfit to even pretend to be president.
Well, like, because
go ahead. No, I was going to say, just because of that thing where he couldn't think of one world leader that he respected. And the person had said, like, well, that's like asking him what his, like, favorite, like, what his dream car is. It's a totally irrelevant question. I was like, that is not an irrelevant question. Because if he knew the answer, and the answer was Vladimir Putin, Margaret Thatcher, and fucking Francisco Franco, then you'd be like, oh, well, he's a fucking idiot, monster demagogue. Like, we can't have that guy around. Or, but if he said, like, oh, I love Justin Trudeau, it would make me be like, oh, cool, maybe he's, like, you know, a little more enlightened than I thought. Like, it actually has some bearing on his personality. And it's an easy fucking question if you can even pretend to know anything about the world, you know, the world stage.
Well, seeing all the other nonsensical things people hold so much merit in, yeah, I'd say that's probably more valid than most.
Probably.
Well, like I said earlier today, I actually kind of like Gary Johnson, because, I mean, I would never vote for him, at least. But I think his hilarious answer about drive-thru surgery is pretty awesome. In, like, a completely chaotic manner. Like, I'm not really... I probably agree with him on a few things, but...
I'm sure I probably agree on more things than I would like to admit, but...
I've heard him on a number of podcasts. He seems like a good, sincere guy, but like you said, he's just... You can't jump in 4 months before the election and be like, hey, I'm here, and I want to be the top dude, and what's going on? Fill me in. It's like, nah, you can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, someone fucking... working concessions at the fucking raceway doesn't get to immediately be a Formula One driver just because they have tons of heart. You know, it just doesn't work that way.
If someone calls in sick, my friend, those sodas can dole themselves out.
You mean like the guy with the oversized man boobs at the baseball game going, I'll tell you right now, they should manage this team. And then all of a sudden the owner comes down and be like, sir, come with me. You need to take over right now.
I've seen you on PSN manage the shit out of those games.
Clearly, yeah, Bill Belichick has lost his way. We need you to be down on the field with Tom Brady.
Let's go, Jeff.
It just, I guess with Gary Johnson, it feels like someone has given, like, the smartest, most reasonable one of those guys a microphone. And it's like, this is a distraction that none of us need right now.
Yeah, I mean, in another year, maybe, but not right now.
I mean, it's like, I know, you sit there and you look at Facebook, and everyone's, like, freaking out about the whole first-past-the-post voting, you know, setup that we have here, which I agree, it's fucking terrible. But come December, I guarantee none of these people are going to be talking about it. Like, no one is going to be like, all right, election's over, but now, you know, we have 2 more years till midterms. Really got to get, you know, get some movement on the grassroots for getting rid of first-past-the-post voting. Like, I really, you know, I'm getting signatures. I'm collecting stuff. We're going to do a rally downtown this week. I know it's going to be cold, but the Christmas season's there. So many people are going to be there. It's going to be really visible. Let's really do this. Let's try to really get some motivation. Like, fucking no. None of these people are going to do jack shit until 4 more years later. When Hillary Clinton's running for re-election and fucking Adolf Eichmann Swampenstein is running for fucking GOP.
Actually, Ralph Nader, I read a thing on there was like an interview with Ralph Nader, and he said the same thing. He said after 2000, he said, he's like, I had no delusions of winning. He goes, I was just trying to get, you know, visibility. And then after the election, hopefully we got 5%, and then we would go from there. And he goes, I tried doing multiple fundraisers, and no one cared. They're all, if anybody wanted to talk at all, it was, well, what are we doing in 2004? He's like, what do you mean 2004? He's like, we got midterms coming up in a year and a half. And they're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. No one gives a shit. It's, people talk about the media. Oh, the fucking media, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, but you guys are the ones that fucking feed the media. Like, all of us do. Like, this is something that we have all agreed that this is how it's happening. And if you don't agree, do something about it, please. God, I am lazy. I don't do these things. I don't get off my ass and do this stuff. But, I mean, there's, with Bernie Sanders and his popularity and this, like, populist wave of, like, liberal kind of enthusiasm, I really expected this election, even with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton being the obvious nominees near the end. I mean, Hillary Clinton, of course, the whole time, but Donald Trump near the very end. I thought there would be a little bit more attention paid on the issues because of, like, what Sanders did, but so little is being paid on the issues right now.
Because people don't want to hear about the issues. They want to hear about tax returns and birth certificates.
Yeah, so
and emails.
To segue into my my pick, it was essentially that, like, people's marital status is what I'd written, like, marital issues. Agreed. Like, as much as a scumbag that Donald Trump is, the fact that he's had three marriages doesn't really bother me. I mean, the fact that he clearly either sleeps with or wants to sleep with his daughter bothers me, but there's so much more stuff that's worse about him, and the fact that, like, Hillary Clinton has had this, like, tumultuous marriage and some very public issues, obviously, in her marriage. Still, none of these things really matter to me because everyone has those problems.
I feel like she's doing it more to, like, prove something.
Doing what more to prove what?
By becoming president or running for president?
Maybe. I mean, I can't. I mean, it seems
well,
like
no
to me
one,
she's
no
a,
one can.
She's been a political person her entire life, even when she was a litigator.
Well,
I mean,
right. Right, but, like,
I think for her, this is just the natural progression. Like, this is the end of her political story, which started when she was in college.
Right.
I mean, she could be definitely trying to prove something. I don't know necessarily if that's a pejorative.
I think because of the whole scandal that Clinton had, you know, what that Monica Lewinsky and.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
See what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's like.
I mean, I guess, yeah, that would definitely, like. That would be that's like literally empowering her. You know, I could see that being something satisfying,
a driving force,
possibly.
I think,
yeah, it'd be hard for me to speak on whether it was a motivation, but I think it would definitely at the end of the day, like, assuming she wins, which is not really a totally safe assumption at this point, but pretty safe. She there's got to be, even if she doesn't even say it to anyone she knows, there's got to be a part of hers is like, yeah, fuck you guys.
Yeah, like, I had to be in that, like, limelight of that whole shenanigans going on, you know?
Yeah, that was a weird presidency for probably both of them, because they were pretty young.
And the weird thing about it is she's from here. That's the weird thing.
She's from Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's from the western suburbs.
Yeah, that's super weird. How can anyone live there?
She's from here, dude. It's so odd.
Man, yeah. You Chicago people, you just, like, feet. You guys have all the politicians.
Yeah, we got, like, six of them in jail right now. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, if she becomes president, which is more than likely going to happen, then here's another one from Illinois.
Hey, Damien, did you listen to our interview with Kara Nicole?
No, I didn't.
You should. It might give you a little bit of hope, just throwing that out there.
See, don't you want to move out here?
And just for clarification, that's AZ Power Girl.
Oh, okay.
Right on. She's running for office in Arizona.
I did not know that. I will check that out.
On the Green Party. So she's got some pretty interesting views. But anywho, moving along.
Yeah, well, that's where the Green Party should really be starting. We shouldn't be worrying about one of the craziest people to ever run for president.
Well, and that's why I think you'll appreciate the interview we did with her.
Yeah. There's a bunch of, like, Green Party mayors. I think it's like four that are Green Party people.
That constitutes a bunch, I guess.
Well, I was listening to Dan Savage's podcast from maybe like a month or so ago, and he was talking about how he's been getting a lot of angry emails about why he either is not talking about or has been kind of down talking Jill Stein. And his thing was he looked at their website, he looked into their whole platform, etc., and he's like, it's not even that their platform is disagreeable. He goes, there are 500,000+ electable offices in the United States. They are running 151 candidates. He goes, that is less than 1%. He goes, so explain to me how I am supposed to take that seriously. He goes, when they take themselves seriously, I will take them seriously. He goes, until then, no.
Yeah, you can't just go straight for the top.
Well, he said,
he's dropped the hammer on him.
Well, he said, he goes, you know, there's everything from like waterboard commission, not waterboarding, but you know what I'm saying. Like, I forget what
the executive director of thumbscrewing.
I used to know a lot of these like odd kind of specific elected offices when I worked at the newspaper, but I've kind of forgotten them all. But like,
there are port commissioner and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's like elected offices that like handle like how to, you know, deal with water issues. The water reclamation district, that's what it is. There's like four people that sit on that. So
right, you think Green Party, that would be like prime place for them to be.
Right. That was his point. He goes, you know, they're not getting involved where it matters. So he goes, sorry. He goes, you don't get to just walk into Target and be like, I'm the CEO because I shop here once a week.
And so moving along to my underrated. This is actually, you know, still on the whole presidential debate topics because that's where my head was. This is an issue that has been brought up year after year after year by somebody who runs for president year after year after year, but most people probably aren't aware of this amazing candidate.
Gallagher?
By the name, no, Vermin Supreme.
I know Vermin Supreme.
He is one of the things that he is very strong trying to, you know, if he was to be president, one of the things he would do is time travel research funding. Where is that discussion and why is it not happening?
Everybody gets a pony.
Everyone gets a pony. There's dental hygiene laws that will go into effect, which I think a lot of people could use, honestly. And yeah, time travel research funding. I mean, we're already at the point where the presidential candidates are, you know, either talking about doing nothing with NASA or cutting NASA altogether. Like, what is wrong with this country?
Well, I watched clips from the Libertarian Convention, and he showed up because he was on the, he was running, trying to become the nominee. And there were guys on that same stage that were screaming and yelling about the DMV and how it's a communist organization. And there was another guy that got so angry he ripped his shirt off. And all I kept thinking was that the guy with the boot on his head is one of the more sane people on the stage of people that are trying to be the nominee for Libertarian Party. And that's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, I will never believe that the system is not rigged until Vermin Supreme is at one of the large debates. That man knows his issues. And I like him. And silence. The podcast is not over, ladies and gentlemen. We're moving along.
Did we lose somebody?
No, I'm right here.
No, I'm starting a bath. Sorry.
Oh,
not for me.
I'm totally gonna finish this podcast in the tub.
I mean, I kind of feel like a little bit.
He's like, I'm gonna take a bubble bath.
I was gonna say, I kind of feel a little bit special. He was willing to be that intimate with all of us. I'd be like, all right.
He's gonna light some candles. And
all right, bros, yeah, we're about to rock this.
Both hands light the candles.
I'm like, is that Careless Whisper? I like it.
All right, Brian, my mind bombed, so go nuts.
No, I thought Vermin Supreme was great. He's wearing food on his head. He's awesome.
Were you going to put on, like, some Dempsey or said child?
Yeah, because that's what I like in the bath is humiliation.
I have to agree with you. I did hear said child, and I was like, ooh.
No, it's not kind very of... good.
Were you in said child?
Yeah, it was my first band, man.
Oh, really? Sorry, dude.
Don't. I'm sorry. I'm the one that put the record out.
And Mark was in it too, wasn't he?
No. It was Seth.
Oh, he was in Dempsey with you. Wait, who was in Dempsey then?
That was Mark and me and this guy Ben Davis and this dude Eric.
Oh, okay.
And then I quit, and then Morgan, who lives later in Blood Brothers, took my place.
Anyways.
Yeah. No, Sedchild is a much better live band. I will definitely tell you, we had good live shows, but recorded, we were not good.
And Brian.
Mine is just arguing over like best movie of all time or best TV show of all time.
Yeah.
Not because it's like, you know, constructive. It's just, you know, fun to argue about whether The Shield is better than Breaking Bad or better than Stranger Things or whatever. You know, there's not a lot of incidents, I would assume, where those can get heated and, you know, I'm going to defriend you when I get home. Because generally it's just, you know, bickering back and forth. It's all in good fun. So anything that does that and steers away from this stuff where it ends up with defriendings is, you know, I'm into it.
Nice. My answer was I can get with that. I had to block someone the other day, and I don't particularly enjoy doing that either.
I've done that to several people, one of them being my aunt. You know that Facebook page shares from my aunt?
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay, first of all, next time you're on Facebook, look up shares from my aunt. Okay. You will cry from laughing. Secondly, my aunt is actually that person. Almost to a T. So that's, to me, that's why it's so funny, is I'm like, oh my god, I feel like my aunt's, I feel like I've unblocked her. Trust me, it's comedy gold. It might be as good or better than The Onion.
It sounds awesome. I will absolutely check it out.
You there, Chris?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Sweet.
an underrated topic. I don't know. Jell-O pudding pops.
What?
I feel like discussing bands is never too old. I love arguing with people about that crap.
Yeah, we've noticed. We've noticed.
Case in point, like, discussions about Dag Nasty.
That was pretty good.
I still say Dave Smalley is Dag Nasty and no one else is. But that's just me.
All right.
So, I don't, sorry. I
mean, yeah, right.
I don't know. What else, what else do you want me to say? I mean...
nothing, really.
I could go on many, many discussions about why... Why Bloodlet could possibly be the best band, hardcore non-hardcore band of the 90s, and I could prove it.
Okay.
Well, I don't need to sell it to you.
No, I still listen to them quite regularly.
Yeah, I don't need to sell it to any of you guys. But that just shows that there's that many people that have. There's very few people that have good taste, so... But, yeah, whatever.
Nice.
Well, I guess my last one will be... I thought we were going more presidential debates, so... experience not being... One of the main issues, I think, is a little underrated.
Yes, I agree.
Like, that's... It's got to be, like... that's... Any job you ever try to get... That is like one of the main things. That's the reason so many people get pissed off about not getting the jobs they want. And when in this situation, like half the country just doesn't even give a shit about experience, like that kind of freaks me out.
Well, I'm sick of all these politicians doing the career politician thing. We need someone who's a real person in there.
Yeah, that is not what you need.
We need a businessman, dude. I can't tell you how sick I am of hearing people say we need a businessman to run the country.
Yeah. Yeah, because that drives me crazy. Because it's like, you know, a businessman in his toolbox of being a businessman, the one thing he can do is, and Trump's super good at this, is having a business go bankrupt, which is a way to protect the investors and the bank and the owners and all this stuff from, you know, litigations and all this stuff. You can't do that to a country.
Yeah,
that's not an option.
Business's main goal is to bring in as much profit as possible, whereas a country's government's most important job is to collectively, you know, take everyone's money and then use that money to provide services for those people.
Yeah, the welfare of the nation is their number one job.
You're not supposed to make a profit.
No.
Well, the one thing that has kind of stuck in my mind through all this is, for 8 years, the constant complaint was that the current president, he had no experience and he wasn't qualified to be president because he had only been a senator for 4 years and a state senator for 8 years prior to that. And before that, he was a community organizer and so on and so on. Here's a guy who has never run for any elected anything in his life. And the same people that were complaining that the current president has no experience, now all of a sudden they're okay with a guy who was, you know, toasting a beer with Stone Cold Steve Austin on Monday Night Raw. So, I don't know, I guess experience doesn't matter that much.
It only matters if it's a way to bash the other candidate.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's that little meme that's going around by this woman, Michelle Vitaglione, wrote it. I don't know if you saw it, but I don't know if I might have shared it or not, but it just says, imagine a woman showed up to the presidential debate unprepared, sniffling like a coke addict, interrupting her opponent 70 times. Let's further imagine she had 5 kids by 3 different men, was repeated adulterer, had multiple bankruptcies, paid 0 federal taxes, rooted for the housing crisis, which many thousands of family lost their homes, and wait, she's never held elective office in her life. I mean, had that's unimaginable.
Yeah. And that's what way too many people are behind.
Mm-hmm. Way too many. Like, any more than, like, 6 shitty uncles, and that's too many.
Yeah.
Why are they going to be uncles?
They're always uncles.
Damn.
I don't make the rules. I just play by it.
I need to take a long, hard look in the mirror right now.
I know. I'm an uncle, too. I'm sure my brother's like, yeah, you're shitty liberal uncle.
I just love when people, you know, go on the whole businessman thing, because it's like, because they think he's such a great businessman, but it's like, A, he's like, let's run down the list here. He's Trump Steaks, failed. Trump University, failed. GoTrump.com, failed. Trump Casino, failed. Like, seriously.
Trump, failed.
Trump Airlines, failed. Like, Trump Casino, like, a casino's only job is to take everybody's money. I'm sorry, have people walk in and hand over their money. And you fucking failed at it. How? You can't even make a casino successful. You are a terrible businessman.
Yeah. I mean, it's people literally come in the door and give you money.
Trump vodka. Same thing. People love alcohol. How do you have vodka fail? Vodka seems to be super popular. Trump mortgages failed. Trump the game failed. Trump magazine, no longer around. You know what I mean? Trump ice. He had his own bottled water.
Jesus.
Forgot his supplement company. That was pretty good.
Yep, that was another one. Tour de Trump. Apparently he tried to do some kind of a bike race thing. Yep, that didn't work. Trump on the ocean, failed. The Trump network was a TV. Oh, no, that was the vitamin thing. The Trump network.
Oh my God. Shit like this makes me really believe in the whole multiverse thing. And we're just like, we're the assholes who are living in the one where Trump becomes like a president.
Yeah.
Like, other people are living in the ones where hamburgers eat people, but we're living in the ones where Trump becomes.
I just want to live in one where it rains donuts. You know what I mean? Let's get that scenario going.
Awesome.
It's just, I don't know. People have such a skewed vision of that man, and it's baffling. Because they've seen him as an entertainer for the last 15 years. So they're like, yeah, he's the coolest, man. You're fired. Yeah. Great. Oh, anywho, yeah, so that totally went off the rails a little bit, huh?
That's okay.
And the fact that he's blatantly racist.
I don't know what you're talking about, dude. I mean, white people are the best, though.
Clearly racist.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I love when people try to say that that's not a thing.
Not I wouldn't even say borderline anymore. He's straight up racist.
Yeah. All right. Soapbox meet. I'm going to step off you now. We're going to come back down to earth and do best thing ever.
Butt thing ever? That sounded like you said butt things ever.
We can do. I mean, hey, maybe that's someone's best thing. I don't know. My best thing. I recently have noticed on Netflix that there is the last previous season of New Girl is finally up. So I've been watching that, and there are just some absolutely ridiculously amazing moments in that season. I'll give you an example. When Cece is going to move in finally with them, and Jess is over
Cece
there
DeVille.
Helping her pack. Now, I don't remember her last name, but she just got off jury duty, so she had a chance to be like...
No, that's the dude from Poison. That's why I said it.
You're a nerd. But... she had chance to be, you know, acting principal because the principal got hurt, but she was on jury duty, so now she's, like, under this other lady who's a complete nightmare. And when Cece answers the phone, because she's a little drunk, and she's like, yeah, I don't like the way you're talking to my friend Jess. She's totally quitting. She hangs up, and she drops the phone and says, nailed it! Like, I like missed the next couple of minutes because I was because I'm always like nailed it, and then they like, oh man, that show is just so stupid but so awesome. Show is so good. Like when Jess, have you watched the season or am I ruining stuff right now?
No, I've seen.
I've only seen the first season.
Okay, I won't say the next part then, but it's.
It's one of those shows that, like, every once in a while I start to go, maybe I'm getting bored of this, and then something happens, or I'm like, no, okay, I'm still on.
Or, like, when everyone was getting sick in the loft, when Winston was like, man, I can't get sick, I got a date coming up, and it's about to get to mouth base. Dude, Winston is like, sometimes I'm just like, dude, do I really like this character? And then he says the dumbest thing ever. I'm like, all right, this dude is the best. Whatever, dude, that show is amazing.
It's pretty good. I'm not gonna dog it.
That's gonna be my best thing ever for the week.
Mine actually would be two episodes, two of the more recent episodes of Imaginary Worlds. The first one was the one on fantasy world map making.
It's intriguing.
I don't know why I would have thought that to be interesting, but I downloaded it and I listened to it. I guess it started around, there's a guy, I think in Germany, who decided to, for like his master's thesis, explain the map of Middle Earth or something like that, and then it like went off into how they draw and create maps for fantasy video games, Game of Thrones, Brandon Sanderson's novels, Jim Butcher's novels, and they just like they talk to all these people that draw these maps and trying to explain like how they come up with the ideas and you know how they kept going back to Tolkien and explaining how he was very integral in creating the map because he wanted the map to explain how the story of Lord of the Rings went. He goes, you know, Mount Doom needs to be this far away from the Shire because we need to, in the book it says it takes them this long to get there. We need to show on the map that that's exactly the amount of time it would take by measuring the amount of miles or kilometers or whatever. It's just stuff like that I thought was super, super interesting. But also the episode, it was called The Hobbit and Hippies. And it was about how when Tolkien wrote The Hobbit, everyone was like, oh, you know, neat. It's a little kid's book. Great. And then he spent 16 years writing the Lord of the Rings trilogy, which actually was written as one long novel. But the publisher felt they couldn't sell it, so they broke it up into three books. They printed 3,000 copies of Return of Fellowship, 3,000 copies of Two Towers, and only 2,500 copies of Return of the King because they're like, no one's going to read this. This is like an epic children's story. No one's going to take it seriously. And academics and scholars pretty much scoffed at it and said it was a waste of time and he wasted 16 years of his life. But he really believed in the book. And somehow the library is kind of where like the fandom started. And then how it got big here in the States was Ace Books. They were kind of like a low budget publisher. They just printed a lot of pulp novels and sci-fi stuff. And there was some weird licensing issue where they were somehow able, they found a loophole to where they could print it here in the United States illegally. So for like a couple of years, they sold it illegally. And Tolkien was fully aware and he was like frantically trying to find a way to stop it. But by the time he actually was able to stop this company from printing the book, it already had sold hundreds of thousands of copies. And the biggest fans were hippies. And then they went in this whole thing about how he kind of already disagreed with them because he was a strict Roman Catholic, but then he started to sort of appreciate them because they were such like ardent fans. But then after a while, he grew to hate the hippies because they would call his house at 3 a.m. to tell him how much they loved the Two Towers. They would draw him pictures of, you know, Frodo Baggins, and he'd get all kinds of crazy mail, and people would send him fan fiction. And by the end, he was like pretty much just done with the whole thing because people were like just fanatical about it. But the whole episode was about how like the hippie culture was like very responsible for being almost like the first group of fanboys or fangirls, fanboys, whatever.
I love those Imaginary Worlds. They're like perfect size, and like those two Tolkien ones are so good. Like,
oh, you listen to them?
Oh yeah, I listen to them every time one comes out. So
those were like two of my favorites. The map making, I was like, why am I so fascinated by fantasy map making? This is great.
I love when they talk about like all the like the things, mistakes people make, where they're like, oh, you know, a lot of times people don't put like, you know, cities by water, or
right,
they don't think about how like rivers have to move through mountains, like stuff like that. I was like, oh my god, I never think about that stuff.
I was just sitting there going, like, if they asked me to draw a map, it'd be a gigantic desert. And they're like, well, how do you explain water? I'd be like, duh, it doesn't exist. I don't know. All my characters are dead. I have nothing. Yeah, so much of this stuff was like, I gotta be like one of the only seven people on this planet would find this interesting, but I find it super interesting. I've
always been interested in how they came up with those maps.
That's why I said seven. I didn't want to just say me. It's like eight people. Three of them are here.
There you go. Did I lose
you guys? Nope.
No. Oh, okay. That's weird. It went super quiet for a second.
Well, I think Brian's done, and Chris hasn't said anything.
About what?
About your best thing ever?
Best week ever? I got a new game. Oh, I also got our garbage disposal in the mail today.
Wow.
Awesome. That's super exciting.
And a balancing spool for our shower. So now we can get cold water and not just get burned alive by the hot water.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah. Well, I actually came a day early, so, I mean, I'm pretty excited. It's a KitchenAid garbage disposal.
I like it.
Nice. Top shelf.
It is. I just did my research, and I got a good deal on it, too. I bought it from eBay, brand new.
Cool.
I've actually got quite a bit of things that we've needed, like for house and for like our cars from eBay. Like I replaced Brenda's turn signal light and her front grill on her Toyota Solera because she got in a little fender bender kind of thingy, and I got both parts off of eBay for real cheap.
Nice. I never ever go on eBay anymore. I don't even bother.
I don't either.
Dude, you guys be surprised what you can find on there, and everything and anything is on there.
Oh, I know. I just know I can find it on Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon's on eBay too, so shit. That's the weird thing.
Weird. I figure, like, records I want, I can find on Discogs.
And yeah, that's where I go for records too, though, on Discogs. Sometimes I can find something good on eBay, but most of the time I can't when it comes to that kind of stuff. But as of late, I've been, like, looking for, like, you know, just housewares and stuff, and I've been finding it.
Nice. Okay, I guess I'll do mine real quick.
Sure, yeah.
For like 20 years or so, I have not had a pedal board for my guitar that is put together very well. And I finally like anchored all the pedals to my pedal board in a way where they won't flop around inside the box anymore. I bought little like extenders so everything has power now that needs it. It's all cleaned up. I mean, it's not cleaned up. It looks disgusting, as it always has, because it's just full of 20 years of shit like between the pedals. But everything's like, you know, in its place and secured and powered, and everything is like ready to go. So it's not fully a grown up one. I don't have like one of those pedal power units, which I'd like to have. I still use like daisy chains and power, and when those don't work, just regular power adapters. But for the time being, even though we can't play shows until December, assuming Shane's arm heals okay, we have I have something that at least won't flop around inside its case anymore. And because a lot of times my pedals would break, like just, you know, fall, like when I'd move it around, like they bang up against each other and slide around, and things would be breaking all the time. Be like, oh, there must be a way to fix this. I don't know what it could possibly be, but you know, actually securing them to the board seems to have helped. So,
is that the one I saw on, I believe, Instagram?
Possibly, yeah. I think they're to Twitter or somewhere. I put something about how I was happy that it was all together now.
Hey, I want to say the picture I saw was the pedal board, and your daughter was playing with it.
Oh yeah. That is the pedal board that I hadn't attached everything at that point, but yes, that was that's the one. That's all the stuff.
You know what the really nice thing is?
How old's your daughter again, Damien?
Seven.
Oh, okay.
That's her in the background beating the shit out of all the furniture with a lightsaber.
Second grade, right?
Yep. Yeah, I don't know if you can hear her right now, but yeah, she's swinging a lightsaber and hitting everything in the room.
That's what Logan does.
Yeah, and I was gonna say that's the nice thing about those little pedals that I've been buying. I can't remember the manufacturer right now because I'm an idiot. But on the site, they sell all the different pedals, but they also sell the power extender. They sell their own little power supply. They sell their own pedal boards, like different, like all in different configurations and stuff. It's actually pretty sweet.
Yeah, I want to say it's like Cooper or something like that. I can't remember.
I can't even. Now I gotta look it up.
Sweet.
Why not? Donner.
Donner. That's it.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, not to try to push them, not saying they're the best. Something maybe look into for the future. They're cheap, and they sound great. But it is good to hear that you have an adult setup-ish, because I certainly don't, but I don't need it. So moving on, I guess that's going to be our show for the week, unless anyone has any last-minute thoughts they want to throw out there. If no,
and no, I think I'm good.
Alrighty then. Well, then that's going to conclude our show for the week. And you can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Chris at SkateXEdge. And you can find Damien at Damien Johnston. Don't forget to check out Facebook.com/ReviewAndRoast and head to ComicRoast.com to listen to all of our shows. Until then, have a good week.